It's 4:48 downtown. Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan in studio with us on this steamy, hot summer day at the end of September.
Yes, sir. I must say, actually, I started to go off on this the other day, but with all the political correctness, we used to call this an Indian summer, right? I mean, this is what it extended.
Although,
deeply into
Bill Green mentioned this the other day, you can't call it an Indian summer, at least in Maine, until there's been a frost.
Kabish. Yeah. Well, you have a different definition, and
yes.
I suppose that doesn't surprise me. Anyway, that's cool. Bill Green, hey, shout out to you if you're listening again today.
Yes.
I appreciate your commenting that I sound like I know what I'm talking about. I shall continue to try and sound like I know what I'm talking
Perfect.
About as we continue.
I thought it was just the wine, but apparently.
No, it's fantastic. And this is great because actually this is like we can actually stay away from politics in this state. We can actually just talk about wine.
Fantastic.
As far as I'm aware, there's no, actually though, for anybody kind of interested in not talking about wine, but still talking about wine, I just would encourage anybody to go check out the story about Charles Banks, who is America's first wine felon. He's going to federal slammy slam prison for wine crimes. Really cool. Check it out. Wine Spectator, Spectator has a good article on it. A bunch of people do, but it's well worth looking into if you're a fan of true modern crime and also alcoholic beverages.
Was this the forged vintages?
Yeah, speaking of an intersection with sports, he was buying for Tim Duncan, among other people. He was, you know, Tim would give him money and he would buy futures and other assorted things. So futures are, you know, you hear that Bordeaux in 2018 is going to be fantastic. It's really going to be good. All the, you know, the almanacs say that, great. So you, in advance, for theoretically a smaller sum of money, will buy, you know, five cases in advance, and that's called futures. And that was a big, big deal in 05, actually. It was a huge deal in 05 because it was a historic vintage. But when those vintages actually came out was October of 2008, and no one had any money in October of 2008 because of September of 2008. And so all of a sudden, all those futures just went languishing and sat. So futures are kind of an interesting deal and sort of buyer beware anyway. But yeah, Tim Duncan, among other people, gave him money. And eventually it was like, so... am I going to get any wine or is that going to not? And the answer was no, not real wine, not the wine you paid for.
No.
Is that cool? I figured you'd be cool with it. Tim was not cool with it. And so, he went to the feds and the feds prosecuted this guy. So anyway, just kind of interesting. America's first federal case of wine fraud. Neat. So today we finish up with our look at California. So it means next month, October, we're going to head to the Pacific Northwest and other important regions of American viticulture. But this is, of course, the segment I call God Help Us Chardonnay, because we do, of course, have to talk about Chardonnay when we talk about California, when we talk about the wine world in general. So I'll remind us all a little bit about Chardonnay before we start talking about California Chardonnay and what made that a big deal. Chardonnay, the grape, it's a grape. Just so, you know, I had this discussion with somebody just today. It's so easy to forget that people really don't necessarily know what all these wine terms are when they're getting thrown at them. You know, this is a blah, 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 blah. Chardonnay, grape. It's just a grape. It's a piece of fruit. It's not a style, even though a lot of people tried to make it into a style. And it actually ripens very easily. It ripens almost anywhere in the world where you can ripen vinifera, including, I believe, on Owl's Head here in Maine right now. Breakwater Vineyards is indeed trying to grow some Chardonnay, and I'll be curious to see how successful they are. But the reason it doesn't work in these far northern climes is because people are worried that it, like a spring frost, might damage early buds. But otherwise, it's pretty safe. Chard on its own really doesn't have that much of a flavor. I mean, it just doesn't. It doesn't have the, you know, citric line of a Sauvignon or the honeyed quality or the white peach of a Chenin. It really takes a lot from the terroir if the terroir is good, and it takes nothing if the terroir is junk. So you can get a very sort of minerally or stony Chardonnay. You can get things like that. Or if it's grown on, you know, sand and things like that, well, it's going to be very plush and you know, thick. But mostly what it benefits from is, you know, either good aging and a a thoughtful hand in the cellar. But it can be grown really in a lot of places. California. So how did California happen upon Chardonnay as such a vital asset to them? It was that famous 1976 tasting in Paris. Stephen Spurrier, the famous British wine merchant who had set up shop in Paris, as you'll recall, set up a tasting at the Hotel de Ville in Paris. A bunch of Parisian and other French wine experts and critics got together, blind tasted some French Bordeaux and reds and white Burgundies, which is Chardonnay by law, and the California equivalents, and the California equivalents won. And the white, the Chardonnay that won was Chateau Montelena. And last year, I believe, we tried the Chateau Montelena current vintage of their Chardonnay. Absolutely, you know, gorgeous. And they're still doing a very good job because, of course, a lot of these estates didn't fall for the whole California oak bomb shard game. They make really elegant, finessed shard that captures their particular terroir, which is really, really nice. So the wine that we're going to drink today, like I said, it's not the Montelena. I brought another fairly well-known winery from the Napa region, Clopegas. Clopegas is a really, really interesting winery in and of itself. It's very in tune with the earth. It's also very sort of versatile. In addition to having a very good wine cave carved out in the volcanic soil behind their estate, they have a little amphitheater in there because the acoustics are so good. So just odd little touches. In fact, it's really interesting. The famous architect Michael Graves, who is certainly a much bigger deal, I guess, 10 plus years ago, actually was from my part of the world. I believe he had his offices in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. But did a lot of famous things. So he designed their whole estate, and it's pretty cool and recognized internationally for its architecture, in addition to the fact that it has good wine. They have 450 acres spread over four distinct vineyards. Again, they're very, very terroir-minded. Their largest, excuse me, is called Mitsuko's Vineyard, and that is where the Chardonnay for this wine is sourced. That is their biggest by a lot, but they've done micro soil experimentation. So they do have Chard planted there. They have Pinot Noir planted there, but they also have Merlot and Cab in the more beneficial plots of those vineyards. So kind of cool. It's really, really elegant. It's under $30 a bottle. So if you're looking for a nice treat for a Chardonnay, check it out because I think it's really absolutely gorgeous. I mean, elements of, you know, kefir lime and tangerine.
Perfect for a day like today.
Perfect for a day like today.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to note before we run out of time that this Friday from 5 to 7 is our leggings, kittens, and wine, or it's called. Oh my tasting. But basically, we've got it's our Women in Wine event coupled with a fundraiser for Bubba's Angels, which is, as I've mentioned, a nice charity locally that connects vets and seniors with adoptable animals, pays for their adoption fees, things like that. Really cool. We're hoping to have some adoptable animals. We'll have a kid's story time. We'll have LuLaRoe leggings. We'll have doTERRA oils. We'll have some jewelry. We'll have just a bunch of stuff. Come on out. Check it out. Don't be afraid to bring your family. 5 to 7 this Friday, the 29th. And then next month's tasting on the 19th will be for Bangor Beer Week. That is going to be a fundraiser for the Bangor Symphony. So lots of stuff happening at Bangor Wine and Cheese and in the world. So if you need a break from the world, come see us and we'll set you up for the means.
And you'll be stunned. Eric's knowledge is impressive here on the radio. In the store, even more so.
True. And as well as my staff. So including, I just hired an awesome new girl who worked for several local creameries, including Appleton, and also worked for an Italian winery. We're ever growing our staff of brainiacs. So come in and put us to the test.
Bangor Wine and Cheese, Hammond Street, Bangor. That's Message in the Bottle.